Thank you so much, June. Let's just pray for Andrew as he brings God's interpretation for us today. So, Lord, we lift Andrew to you. Thank you for his preparation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit living in him. And we pray, speak through him to the Spirit in our hearts today, that we may receive what you want us to hear and act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to see you're all still awake, and good morning to you online as well. Hope you're still awake as well. I hope you will be by the end of today's talk. It's today's Father's Day, isn't it? And I wonder, do you know, when you go shopping sometimes, when you go around whatever supermarket you like to go to, do you sometimes see those things, those sort of forbidden things that, you know, that you're tempted to buy, but you resist the temptation and you don't put them in the basket? Do you get those moments, you know, something that you know that you love that's not good for you, and you know you're tempted, but maybe sometimes you do? Well, today, all that resisting temptation has paid me off, because one of my gifts came shaped, do you know the triangular chocolate that you can buy? Do you know the one? Yeah? The Toblerone, you know? As one of my sons was handing it to me, I thought, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, I know what's inside. It was just the right weight as well, you know, and I thought, oh, I'm going to so enjoy this, but I somehow think I'm going to have to share it as well, but there you go. Here's just some quotes about fathering. It's a wise father that knows his own child. That was William Shakespeare. My father used to say that it's never too late to do anything you wanted to do. You never know what you can accomplish until you try. And that was Michael Jordan who said that. It was my father who taught me to value myself. He told me that I was uncommonly beautiful and that I was the most precious thing in his life. And that was Dawn French who said that. So this morning, what's on my heart is the extravagant love of the Father. I just felt, as we were coming to Father's Day, it just seemed the thing to think about today. And it just so happens that this is my favorite reading in the Bible. It's one of my favorites, the story of the prodigal son. And my journey with this reading, the way it hit me the most, or hit me in a new way, was in 2005 when I was at theological college. And when we were at college, every couple of months they would have a guest speaker come and do an afternoon lecture on the Friday, on the Thursday, and then they would end up preaching in the chapel in the evening. And we heard that there was this artist coming. His name was Charlie Mackesy. Some of you might have heard of him. And you probably have heard of him more in the last couple of years, because his book, The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse, has been in the top 10 for the last 2 years, or top 100 books, selling lots of copies. But anyway, Charlie came, and we're ushered into the hall where he was going to do the lecture. And he'd bought a whole load of paintings, these massive canvases all over the place. And a few of them were like this one. Oops. Hello. Like this one. Because Charlie had been massively impacted by the story of the prodigal son. So much so that he had done many paintings on this. In fact, he had done sculptures as well. If you watch sometimes services from HTB, you'll know that Charlie Mackesy, sometimes he speaks at HTB. And in fact, he designed the original Alpha logo. Anyway, Charlie did his talk. And I was looking at these. And when I realized what these paintings were all about, I was just blown away. I mean, they're great when they're printed, when they come up, you know, on a print like this where you see them. But when you see the real canvas, there's just something about that prodigal son story that just so blows you away. So, this prodigal son story, what's it all about? Well, it's got three characters. It's got a father. It's got a younger son. And it's got an older son. And it kind of kicks off with the older son thinking to himself one day, he thinks, you know what, I'm a little bit bored with life. My dad is filthy rich. He doesn't need all that money. Why don't I just go and ask him for some of my inheritance? And in those days, the second son would normally get about a third. He would be eligible for a third when his parents had died. But this son thinks, you know what, I want my inheritance now. So he goes to his dad. He says, Dad, can I have my inheritance? And his father says, yeah, okay, son. I'll just liquidate a whole load of my assets and give them to you. And he does that, and he gives it to his son. And his son disappears, goes off to a foreign land, has a load of fun, partying, revelry, eating, drinking, having. And then one day, his money runs out. And surprise, surprise, all his friends disappear, and he finds he's got nothing to eat. And the only way he can get a tiny amount is to go and work for a farmer, to go and feed pigs. In fact, the pigs get more lunch and dinner than he does. He's still starving. And then one day, he remembers his father. He remembers his loving, generous, gracious father. And he thinks, ah, if I go home, beg my dad to go and work for him, let me be one of his servants, then I might just about, then I'll be able to eat again properly. So he decides to make his way back home. But little does he know, because his father loves him so much, his father is all the time looking out for his son, hoping that his younger son is going to come home. He's aching and aching and saying, oh, I want my son to come home. And then one day the father sees his son in the distance. And he gets on his feet and he rushes out to his son. And his son, who's, you know, his shoes are all torn to pieces, his clothes disheveled, his hair matted and disgusting. But his father rushes out, throws his arms around his son, clasps his son, kisses his son, and says, come home, son, come home now. And the son goes home. Now the son is expecting to become one of his father's servants. You know, he says, Lord, he says, Dad, look, forgive me. Forgive what I've done. Let me just come and work for you. But how does the father react? The father reacts in this most outrageous way. He throws a party for his son. He gets the fattened calf. He puts a ring on his finger. He puts a robe on him. He brings him back. He restores his son to the way he was. But then, there's the older son working out in the fields. The older son, the dutiful son who's always worked hard, never done anything wrong, always working hard, trying to please his father, comes. And then he hears this music in the distance, and he says to one of the servants, what's going on out there? And they said, haven't you heard? Your younger son is home. And he hears that his father's, you know, slaughtered this big cow and they're having a massive party, and he's really resentful. He thinks, oh, you know what? I've worked so hard for my dad. Have we got any older sons here? Ever had that experience? I've got a younger brother. He's a little bit different to you, you know. He's jealous. This is an outrageous story, utterly outrageous. Because, you know, in those days, if the son asked for his inheritance early, he was basically saying to his parents, I see you as dead, you're dead. But the father, he loves the son. He searches, he's looking for his son all the time. But this son, he hits rock bottom. Utterly rock bottom. He is humbled beyond all recognition. But the really important thing is he remembers his father. How often do we forget our Father in heaven? Sometimes how far near rock bottom do we have to be before we remember how much God loves us? This father is searching for his son. My question this morning, and it's just come to me, is do each and every one of us know how much God is searching out for each and every one of us? How he is looking out constantly at every one of us? And if we just make one slight little error that takes us out of that knowledge of his grace, that he is just waiting to embrace us back. But not only is the younger son welcomed back, he is reinstated with the biggest party they had probably had for a decade or two. But also we need to remember the father loves the older son. He loves his older son just as much as the younger. He says to him, "Everything that I have is yours. You do not need to worry." So this morning, I should have gone through all of these slides for you. You can see how much I love this story. I'm getting carried away, all right? So anyway, I feel there are 3 points we get out of this reading today: compassion, celebration, and generosity. The father has great compassion on his son. On the younger son, he is just stretching out, saying, "Yeah, my son, I love you." The same for our God. Our God has compassion for each and every one of us. He is stretching out, looking out for each and every one of us. And I was thinking about this compassion of our God. I was thinking, has anything happened recently where we've seen grace and compassion in the public sphere? And I thought about the Queen. I thought about the Queen and her, and how she had Prince Andrew with her at the service of thanksgiving for Prince Philip. We know that Prince Andrew has had his challenges in the past few years. And we might have our own opinions about that. But I thought it was amazing how the Queen decided to take Prince Andrew and to walk in to the service with him. I think that just shows something of our Queen's compassion as an illustration of an outsider brought back inside. The second, celebration. The father celebrates his son's return with this incredible feast. But do you know what? Every time somebody from outside of God's kingdom comes into God's kingdom, there is a celebration in heaven. Oh, we've just stepped out of being Anglican there and just became a little bit Pentecostal there. I'll just say that again. Every time someone from outside the kingdom comes in, there's a celebration in heaven. Wow. Okay, do you like this scripture? In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So yeah, we might think about the outsiders coming in, but each and every one of us do things that are not right. And it just struck me as I was preparing how important it is when we do our confession in the service. It can be so easy just to say the words and go through the actions, but actually what we're doing is something that is so profound because it brings us back into the presence of God. The dad who came home just in time. I've just got to get to my notes. You think you've done all this preparation and then you just keeps you on your toes, doesn't it? I came across this story about celebration, about a family that was fractured and brought back together again. The dad who came home just in time. Nicholas was terrified. He'd lost his job as a hairdresser. His attempts to start a motorbike taxi business had failed. He borrowed money from loan sharks from his community and now they wanted it back. Leaving behind his pregnant wife and two young children, Nicholas decided to run. I didn't know what happened to my husband. He just disappeared from the house one day. We looked for him, but we didn't know where he was, remembers Chantal. The mum of three then faced the daunting task of providing for the family's needs alone. I was completely disappointed and traumatized, she explained. When Chantal was 5 months pregnant, she heard about Compassion's child survival program. By the time registration day came, things were so desperate. She met with the project workers barefoot and in threadbare shirt. From the outset, child survival implementer Morwees knew the family needed urgent support. In addition to regular meetings at the project, Morwees and the church leaders started searching for Nicholas. They found out where he was staying and began to visit. Every day they prayed that God would touch his heart. It took 3 months worth of visits before Nicholas changed his mind. He felt ashamed and didn't know how he could return. But the church staff worked sensitively along both him and Chantal, providing counseling and encouragement. Just days before Chantal gave birth, Nicholas came home. Chantal and Nicholas named their son Irene, which means the grace of Jehovah. I'm so happy about what the project has done in my life, says Chantal. Today my family is united. We love each other. We support each other and we solve our problems together. It's just wonderful. We can only imagine the sense of celebration and gratitude Chantal and Nicholas feel as they were reconciled together. The dad who came home just in time. Lastly, generosity. The father tells the older son, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The elder son just needs to receive that message from his father. He needs to realize. And sometimes we need to hear that from our father as well in heaven. You know, we are his children. We're always with him, and everything that he has, he gives to us. God has given everything to us to save us in Jesus Christ. He gave his one and only son and watched him be tortured, hung on a cross to die for each and every one of us. And it says in John 3:16, and if this is the first time you've ever heard this verse, hear what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. That's the gift that God has given to each and every one of us. As saved sinners, we are saved by Christ. And then it got me thinking about a father who gives his whole life to his children here on earth. And recently I saw a film called King Richard. You might have heard of this film. It's about Richard Williams, who has these rather famous daughters who become rather successful tennis players. But the film is about the early years, when the girls were younger. Venus and Serena are teenagers, and basically from before the two girls were born, Richard had a plan to make them the most successful tennis players in the world. And in this film, he's a modest security guard, but in all his spare time, he will do everything he can to help and nurture his daughters. Him and his wife, they basically give their lives to their daughters. They sacrifice in order that their daughters will succeed. And in this film, you see how he goes against adversity and he tries his best to help his daughters. And I think we know the end of the story. It does pay off because they do become two of the most successful tennis players in the history of the game. So this morning we've thought about the extravagant love of the Father, the compassion of the Father, the compassion of God our Father in heaven towards us, the celebration that God puts on when any of us return to him, and also the generosity of the Father, how much he gives to each and every one of us on this Father's Day. Shall we pray? In fact, would you like to stand? Shall we stand together? I think each and every one of us just needs to be reminded of the compassion, the celebration, and the generosity that God offers to each and every one of us. But there might be one or two here who really, really need to hear it in their hearts, who need a real filling of the Holy Spirit to say, yeah. You know, there might be someone here who is saying, yes, Andrew, that's so fine for you to say those words, but I don't really feel it in my heart or in my mind, or it's a long time since I've really felt that kind of love of the Father. So, Lord, send your Holy Spirit now, I pray, upon each and every one of us. We need your love. We need your presence. None of us have an instant hotwire to heaven to receive your love and your spirit. We need you to pour it out upon us.